Everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back here with a special Valentine's Day week podcast. Very excited for this. We did this a year ago, and we got rave reviews that we had to do it again. So joining me once again, this time we're here in my studio. Last time we were at Podcast One, but here we are in the studio joining me to talk about dating and relationship questions from the listeners, our good friend Francesca Hoagie.
Woo! Hi.
Franny, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. Thank you so much for having me.
Very excited to have you here to talk about this. We got, this was a fun podcast last year.
Yeah, we had a good time.
I heard from people that said, oh, you know, Franny really helped me last year. I want to make sure that we do it again. So you had reached out to me and said, hey, are we going to do it again? And I said, yes, perfect, because I'm dying to have you back. And very excited to talk about all this. I got a big stack of questions for you here. I don't know how many we're going to get through.
All right. We'll see what we can do.
And a lot of questions.
Let's change some lives.
Yes. Now, Franny, just in case people who came on as new listeners in the last year or so and may only know you from Survivor, may not know that you are working with people on coaching them in dating and all sorts of things. Tell them a little bit about what you've been up to.
So since Survivor, I originally started a matchmaking company. So I started as a matchmaker in the love industry and pretty quickly realized that most people don't need a matchmaker. They need to learn to be their own matchmaker. So I started coaching people really out of necessity because it's not just about meeting more people. It's about meeting the right people and you being the right person. And so that's what I do. I work with single people, help them to just live better, happier lives and meet more people and meet more compatible people.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question. Is the problem isn't so much meeting people. Is it more meeting the right people or making it work with somebody that you might just throw away? Because like I've been out the game for a while, Franny.
You were deep out of the game.
But it does seem like that part of the problem now is that it's just so easy to get new people.
Yeah.
It's almost like this game of Go Fish where you never run out of cards. Like, okay, mommy, I can do better than this. I can do better than this. I can do better than this. What else is out there? I got another chance. It's just so easy to meet people that it seems like if there's anything wrong with somebody, you just throw them away. Is that part of it also of trying to make it work with some of these people? Or is it just a matter of finding better people?
Well, that is definitely a big issue because, if you meet somebody, they could be amazing, but you're like, they like the Jets. I hate the Jets. Like, I'm just going to go. You know what I mean? Like, it could be people can be that they can start to be that picky. What I always tell people is that you can have a list of the 20, 50, 100 qualities that you want in a person and a partner, but you can't weigh them all equally. Mm-hmm. Like somebody having like good family values and actually desiring monogamy and being crazy about you can't be equal to like likes the same music, you know, like you've got to prioritize.
Deal breakers.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So like talking about like the fundamentals and also what you're bringing to the table. So how those people are going to be interested in you and recognize you as the right person for them.
Now, another thing that you've been doing, and Nicole was just talking about it downstairs when Franny came through, and actually we actually got to christen Franny that she got the hell Anthony and he actually threw up on her downstairs. So we welcome to the studio.
I feel like part of the family. It's awesome.
Yes. But Nicole was talking about how that she sees you all the time on the Today Show and that you are on. And what do you do when you go on the Today Show?
So when I'm on the Today Show with Kathy Lee and Hoda, I do a segment with another dating coach. His name is Matthew Hussey, and it's called The Other View. And we give dating and relationship advice to people.
Okay.
Much like we're doing today.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to go through this. I've got a bunch of questions that I got from the listeners of the podcast that we had set up an email address. I had a form where people were sending questions in. We got some voicemail in. And so I told people, send in your question. You could tell us whatever name you want to be called. We will keep your name anonymous if you want. And so just send in your questions. And I got a stack of questions here. And we'll go through it and see what Franny has to say.
Okay. I'm excited.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Does everybody know? I have not seen these questions.
Have not seen these questions.
Yeah.
But only I've seen them. I've gone through them and I've pulled out some of the most interesting ones to talk about on the show. Before we jump into this, let's just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Pro Flowers. Franny, how important are flowers for Valentine's Day?
Flowers are always a good idea.
Always a good idea. Valentine's Day is coming up this weekend. Can you ever guess wrong and send a woman flowers and then she doesn't like them? Is that possible?
Flowers are always a good idea. People always appreciate flowers.
It would seem very unlikely.
Highly unlikely. I wouldn't worry about that.
Yes. And the best way to do flowers are from Pro Flowers, because the flowers are all picked through at the supermarket or at the florist. You don't recommend somebody go to the supermarket to buy flowers, right?
No, then they're going to be like those turquoise dye daisies and baby's breath. That's it.
Yeah, it's a free for all. It's so inconvenient and everybody is already there. But Pro Flowers, you just log online. You don't have to leave your desk or fight the crowd or pay more than you should, because Pro Flowers has got the Valentine's Day deal for you. They've got 24 assorted roses plus a free glass vase for just $29.99. Or you could be a hero and upgrade to the long stem roses with a cherry red vase and chocolates for just $9.99 more. That's important, right?
That's actually a really great deal.
Good deal. So go to proflowers.com, use the promo code REALITYTV. They always look healthy and great. They get shipped right to your door. And Pro Flowers is quick and easy and has delivery for Valentine's Day guaranteed. Those flowers are guaranteed to last for 7 days or your money back. So go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone at the top right corner and type in Reality TV. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone at the top and type in the code Reality TV. Don't wait for the weekend. Order today. This deal expires Friday at midnight. So what are you doing out here in Los Angeles?
Well, you know, I'm doing this whole bi-coastal yes. lifestyle thing. So, you know, I've got a place here and I come and
so you, just... Is it just like, okay, I'm going to be here for 2 weeks, I'm going to be here for 2 weeks, or is it based on more events?
It'll be events. Like I went to the NAACP Image Awards last week.
Oh, how so was that?
It was really good. It was fun.
Yes.
So that was part of the catalyst for me being here right now. And then I went to Joshua Tree this weekend, because that's like one of my favorite places. I need to go to the desert and recharge every now and again. So.
Yes. Were you there with other survivors?
I was. I was there with Max and Corinne and Jay.
Yes, yes. I saw pictures on Facebook of Corinne and Max. And actually, Corinne is going to be coming. It's going to be sitting in that very seat that you're sitting in right now tomorrow night when we record. She's going to come in with her binder.
I know.
To talk through everybody from Survivor 32.
I'm very excited about that. I have not looked. I haven't checked out the cast. So I'm just waiting to hear what Corinne has to say.
Yes. And Franny, congratulations. Happy 5-year anniversary of Survivor. That it's been 10 seasons since Survivor. God. Redemption Island.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
No, I can't actually. That's crazy.
Okay. All right, Franny, let's start with question number one. This is from Kelso, who writes in, a coworker wants to set me up on a date with her friend. We're both interested, but I'm not sure if I should let my friend coordinate or if I should reach out to the girl via Facebook. What should I do? And also, how important are political views in relationships? My line of work is full of people in one wing, and my personal is full of people in the other wing, which sometimes makes it difficult. All right. So you want to be set up with a person. Do you let the other person do the setup, like the matchmaker? You're a matchmaker. Do you actually put the people in contact, or do you say, okay, be at the Empire State Building at 7 o'clock on this day with a rose?
So when I was matchmaking, I would put them in contact and let them set up the details of it. So I think that's just the best way to do it. I mean, your coworker who's setting you up, Kelso, shouldn't be also your secretary here, you know, I mean, to deal with all the scheduling. But I will say, don't contact each other on Facebook. And I'm glad that this has come up already, because I think this is a big mistake that people connect too quickly on social media. So then, you know, you're on Facebook, you're looking at all their photos, you're reading all their posts, you're making all sorts of assumptions about them based on this online persona before you've even met them offline.
Yeah, because that could be a totally awkward thing where, let's say, it doesn't go well. You go and you meet the person for a drink or something. And then afterwards, if it doesn't go, now you're stuck with this person on your Facebook friend. You can't unfriend them.
Yeah. So just call them, call or text, even email. But no Facebook. Stay, keep it off social media.
Is it a thing, Franny, if you're seeing somebody and they send you a friend request, should you wait 3 days to accept the friend request?
So I have a policy that I am not social media. I'm not Facebook friends with people that I'm dating. It's a personal policy. I mean, I even...
At what point do you accept them in?
My ex-boyfriend and I, who I was totally in love with, we lived together and we weren't Facebook friends.
Yeah.
Because I don't really see much good coming from that. So I would just, for me personally, would just be upfront and be like, you know what? I don't do that Facebook thing with people
really?
I'm dating. Yeah.
Wow. So, and there's no like, okay, yeah, if not by the third date, they don't accept your Facebook friend request, then it's not going to happen?
No.
Wow.
I don't believe in that rule. I made an exception one time to this.
Yeah.
And I lived to regret it.
Well, what's the problem that you see the post they've put and it's just like, oh, that's not funny. That's so stupid. Oh, I can't believe they're sharing that. Or is it something else?
The point is that you should be connecting with each other face to face in the real world. And rather than having this whole veil of social media, you know, just confusion added on top of that. And then, you know, it's like, oh, this person wrote on his wall. Who's she? What does that mean? And then you go down a rabbit hole before you know it, you found out everything about all of his family, all of his exes, all of his friends. And it's just too much information. Like nothing good can come from being just going down that social media rabbit hole.
Should I unfriend Nicole? Would that reignite the spark in our marriage?
If, the mystery?
Yes, yes. If I unfriended her and then it was like, oh, who's this person that I'm not even Facebook friends with them? I don't even know who you are anymore.
Do not unfriend
your
wife.
I wonder what she posted on Facebook today. I don't know.
I mean, I'm a little bit extreme on this, obviously. Yeah. But I think just in general, when you're getting to know somebody, it's just not a good idea. Because you know what's going to happen. You're going to stalk them. They're going to stalk you. And just get all that information face to face.
And then what about the political question?
Oh, well, it sounds like he already knows how to navigate if he's, you know, in his work life, all with one party and one wing. And that's going to be different for different people. Some people feel so passionately on a very, you know, personal moral level about their politics that if you have opposing views to them, they're not going to date you.
Can that work though? Let's say that, you know, the guy is a Democrat and the woman is a Republican or whoever the other person is. Could it work if you don't have the same political views?
Potentially, but it would be challenging if you felt very strongly about your political views. Yeah.
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 Okay. That'd be a spicy relationship.
It would be. I mean, some people can still, like, they can say, I don't agree with this, but I can see why you do. And I would avoid that topic while you're getting to know someone.
All right. Here's a question. This is from Jen. Jen writes in and says, hello, Robin, Franny. My ex-boyfriend broke up with me out of the blue about 3 weeks ago, saying he just didn't want to be in a relationship anymore. I've always found it to be really hard to commit to somebody, but because I felt more comfortable with him than other people I've known over the years, I wore my heart on my sleeve. I have some things going on in my personal life, and maybe it was affecting him on a level that made him feel like he needed to break it off. I'm moving on, and I've surprised myself with how well I'm doing, but there's a small part of me that's blaming myself, and I'm not sure how to stop doing so. What's your advice on the best way to put those anxious emotions aside and start to think rationally?
Wow, there's a lot there.
Blaming yourself.
Yeah, blaming yourself. You were reading that question. The first thing I thought was the fact that she was wearing her heart on her sleeve with someone and she doesn't normally do that. And he's somebody who ultimately said, I don't want to be in a relationship. I don't think that that's something to gloss over because I would imagine, without psychoanalyzing you, and I'm not a psychologist, too much, Jen, I would say that there is nothing, you should not blame yourself. However, all relationships give us a lot of information and there is probably something to the fact that the guy who was non-committal is the guy that you were able to be vulnerable with. And my guess is that when it comes to guys who are more available, that you are not as able to be vulnerable with them. So I think that's the lesson there. And it's not about blame in terms of what was going on in your life. You know, if somebody is bailing on you because you have issues in your life, then honestly, he's doing you a favor because that's never going to stop, right? Like life. I mean, you want somebody who's going to be there with you and support you through life's challenges. So I would say that really focusing on the lesson and really doing like as objective as you can be in terms of doing like an autopsy of the relationship, like, okay, you know, I felt blindsided when he broke up with me, but when I look back on it, it's kind of like Survivor, mm-hmm. you know, like you might feel blindsided, but then when you look back on it, you're like, oh, you know what? I shouldn't have done that. Or they weren't making eye contact with me, or they did say like, you know, I'm finding it hard to trust you. And I just pretended that, you know what I mean? Whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So I think the more you can do an autopsy and just say like, okay, looking back, did he ever say that he wanted to be committed? Was he hedging? Was he, you know, was he making effort to move the relationship forward and to make it something more serious? Or was he kind of like taking a backseat to all of that? So it's just information to help you make a better decision next time, but there's no blame here.
Do you think that when Jen is talking about that, she started talking and opening up and sharing so much with a new person, do you recommend sort of being a slower sharer in a new relationship?
I think that you need to make sure that there is a balance that needs to be struck, right? Mm-hmm. But you need to make sure that this is a safe place for your heart, right? Like you don't want to tell somebody that you've just met all of your deepest, darkest thoughts and feelings and emotions and experiences, because you don't know yet whether this is a person who is respectful, trustworthy, you know, who's not going to use that information against you or bail on you. So, you know, you want to share things of yourself, but make sure that you're paying attention to who you're sharing with.
Let's do another question. Okay. This is from Number One in His Heart. Number One in His Heart.
Okay.
Writes and says, "Hey, Franny, my boyfriend and I of just over a year and a half have decided to begin an open relationship.
Oh.
In an open relationship, what do you think is the best way for a partner to reassure their main partner that your relationship with him is the most important?" Okay. So they're together a year and a half.
Yeah.
And now, hey, guess what? Open relationship.
So open relationships are very, very tricky. Unless both parties really want to be in one. Mm-hmm. So if it's really one person,
what does that mean? Open relationship. For the uninitiated.
For the uninitiated, open relationships mean that you're in a committed relationship with someone, but it's not monogamous. So, okay. You have a partner who's your main partner that you could be married. I mean, there are plenty of people who have open marriages. You might be married to someone, have a boyfriend, have a girlfriend, but you still see other people.
Mm-hmm.
And for different people, it's in different ways. For some couples, it's that, you know, they're bringing another person into the relationship, right?
So they're seeing the same person.
They're seeing the same person. And for other couples, it's...
That's polyamory, right?
Yes, that is polyamory.
Yes.
Have you been studying?
Yeah. No. I know somebody.
Yeah. No, I know people too. I mean, you know, I know somebody who... was dating a woman who was dating a married couple.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it worked for them was that sometimes she would spend time with the husband alone. Sometimes she would spend time with the wife alone. And sometimes they'd all three be together.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked for them, you know, but it's to different extents. For some people, it just means some people have a don't ask, don't tell policy. So mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you can see other people, but I don't want to hear about it. And you know, it's all about having like ground rules.
And not being friends on Facebook is a good way to facilitate that, right?
Not being friends on Facebook is going to make
That's
it a lot
right.
easier. So I would just say to Number One in His Heart.
Yes.
Just make sure that you both really want it and you're not, and one person isn't going along with it just to please or appease the other person, because mm-hmm. it will probably end with a lot of bad feelings.
So is it verbal that you just say, hey, look, just so you know, you're number one, just, you know, I'm going to probably go out and see some other people, but you're still the best.
Yeah.
Or is it other ways of showing that?
Well, I think, again, you have to have ground rules.
Yeah.
So if you know, as a person in that relationship, that you're going to feel badly if, you know, you don't spend weekends together, or you're going to feel badly if they maybe spend the night at somebody else's house, or maybe that's the rule. It's like, okay, you can hook up with somebody else, but I'm the only person you spend the night with, or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
Making those ground rules and sticking to them.
All right. So let's take, for the first time in the show, let's take a voicemail question.
Hey, Franny, it's Louise from Australia. I'm calling on behalf of a friend, hoping you can give me some advice to pass on to her. Now, she met a new guy who she really liked. She met him on the internet and they had a few dates. And these few dates went really well and they got themselves into a romantic situation one evening. Now, the next morning after this romantic situation, my girlfriend noticed that her new love his hair was no longer stuck down to his head. It seems that he wears a toupee and he hadn't told her. And now they've had a few more dates. She was too embarrassed to bring it up and he still hasn't told her. So I need to know, should she ask him the question? Should he tell her? Should she pass this information on to a random third party such as myself? And I should start bringing up George Costanza-like conversations? I need your help. Thank you. Thanks, Rob.
Wow, Louise from Australia. First of all, that's cool that we have a caller from Australia.
Yes.
Secondly, you know, I've gotten asked a lot of questions and never one about a toupee. So yeah. this is a first. I mean, my initial reaction to that is, what is there to ask him? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he has a toupee.
Yeah.
You verified that with your own two eyes. So I guess really the issue is she feels for some reason like he should disclose this to her, mm-hmm. and it should be a discussion. And, you know, honestly, I don't have a very strong feeling about this. I mean, I would say if she wanted to sort of, I don't know, it could be really emasculating. I mean, listen, he's wearing a toupee mm-hmm. in this day and age. He's like, probably really has some.
I mean, does the friend feel betrayed you misrepresented yourself?
Yeah. I mean, but she's continuing to date him. So apparently she really likes him. Mm-hmm. I mean, would she rather him not wear a toupee? I mean, what's the end result here?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, what's the end goal of talking about it? I mean, if a woman had fake eyelashes or a weave or something, or, mm-hmm. you know, hair extensions, like, should she disclose that? I mean, I don't think that is really necessary. I mean, I mean, if she really wanted to bring it up, mm-hmm. first of all, like, really handle it very gently, like, by it, I don't mean the toupee. Okay. I mean, the subject of the toupee, you know, maybe she's like, next time they're getting it on, maybe she like runs her fingers through his hair and she might say, you know, oh God, I'm very like afraid to give her an exact suggestion of what to say, because I feel like it could end really badly. but I mean,
could you just say, oh, I didn't know you wore a toupee?
Or listen, if you feel like, I really like this guy, I think he's totally sexy and attractive. I don't think he even needs to wear a toupee, because mm-hmm. I would think, you know, I think he looks great no matter what. If that's how you feel, then you could say that to him.
What if she came out with an admission of her own and just say, hey, you know, I just want to tell you that the other night I was wearing Spanx and that wasn't my actual figure. I was sort of just like, you know, I wanted to, you know, do something to, you know, to impress you. And that wasn't actually so just full disclosure. That wasn't, you know, maybe a little bit of a different thing that you would have imagined.
Yeah.
And then he could say, well, you know, funny that you should mention that. And I have this thing on my head. This isn't actually my hair.
Yeah. I mean, clearly it's bothering her a lot.
She told Louise,
but I guess I just don't understand why it bothers her so much. I don't feel like it's a betrayal. Let me put it that way, for him not to disclose that he wears a toupee. Yeah. But I guess, you know, it'll probably come up organically. I would just sort of relax about it and let it happen. I mean, if there are other things, if you're worried, like, oh, if he's keeping the toupee from me, is he keeping his secret wife? You know,
right.
I mean, like, do you have some other reason to, you know, it's embarrassing.
And
right?
In that case, you should add him on Facebook and see if he has other pictures without the toupee on.
Don't do that. I mean, if he said in his profile, his online profile, by the way, I wear a toupee, you never would have gone out with him. So you understand why mm-hmm. he maybe is not like that excited to talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. So you think that you should lie on your social media or dating profile if you do have it to, like, don't come out and say it.
I don't think you should lie and say, this is my real hair.
Right. But it's okay in the picture.
But you don't have to mention, by the way, I'm balding.
Full disclosure.
Yeah. I'm balding.
Okay. All right. And Louise gave you enough that you felt like that she wasn't actually talking about for herself, that she wouldn't, because I feel like a lot of these stories that start off my friend has a, you know, a podcast and his wife gets really annoyed that he has the podcast all the time. What should I do, Franny?
Tell your friends to call me.
Okay. No, but then Louise said, you know, what should I, or the friend is telling a concerned third party. Yeah, so
I think
she convinced me.
I believe Louise is, this is not Louise's personal situation. Okay. I think in the grand scheme of relationships and compatibility,
yeah,
this is a small thing,
right? Who cares?
Yeah,
who cares? I mean, it's not like the guy has like flowing, you wouldn't think that, you know, he has like amazing hair, right?
Yeah. Let me ask you something. If you can think back to your days of being single,
mm-hmm.
if you had gone out with a woman and later discovered that she had hair extensions.
Yeah, I feel like extensions is a little different because I feel like that's been the sort of like glued in,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I think that probably if you found out like that they had like, you know, you thought they had like very long hair and they had like, you know, some like a wig,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that would be like a little bit like, oh. Like, I had no idea that that was what you were doing there. It just really depends on like, you know, how different it is and whether you like the person or not.
But would you feel that they should have told you?
If I was sort of like going along for like, I had no idea that that wasn't your real hair. And it was something totally, totally different. But I feel like, I don't know if it would be a deal breaker.
Okay.
Seems like it's almost like a deal breaker. Like, why didn't you tell me?
I think we gotta, again, it's talk about priorities. Like, what's the priority?
Yeah.
Disclosure of fake hair situations versus loyalty and intellect and kindness.
A lot going on. Okay. This is from Between a Rock and a Hard Stone. Okay. This is Between a Rock and a Hard Stone. I'm a gay man who has been in a relationship with a great guy for about a year and a half. I am much more outwardly affectionate with my partner, and I tend to go out of my way to let my partner know how much I love him. In being less so, my partner consistently feels like he is disappointing and dissatisfying me, which is not the case. Previously, my partner has been the more giving person in a relationship and struggles being on the receiving end of that kind of affection. What can I do to reassure my partner he is not dissatisfying me and make him feel like the love he gives to me is enough?
Oh, that's sweet.
Yes.
So this is a common issue in terms of how we all have a different love language, you know?
Yes.
So to speak.
What's yours, Franny?
Mine is quality time.
Quality time.
So I'm not, you know, I don't care about getting
gifts.
Should
I read that book? I've thought about reading that book.
You don't even have to read the whole book.
Yeah.
But you should go to, I think it's like the5lovelanguages.com
is like a website. I can take like a BuzzFeed quiz.
You can take a quiz.
Oh, perfect.
And yeah, it's good. It's actually,
I'll Snapchat it later.
You should do it because yes. I mean, what's great about understanding your love language is that the goal is not to have somebody who has the exact same love language as you. The goal is to understand that maybe, you know, even though you're maybe a person who feels really loved when you get gifts, if your partner is somebody who feels really loved when you say, I love you, then you make an effort to say, I love you to them versus mm-hmm. giving them gifts because that's not how they, you know, understand love. So, I think that really since this guy between a rock and a hard stone, not place, but mm-hmm. stone,
yes.
if he, you know, obviously he's very verbal, right? Like words of affirmation. So maybe he can try being maybe a little less verbal and showing his partner love in a way that's in his partner's love language.
Okay.
Whether it's like, you know, quality time or access service, whatever.
So what do you do? You have to get your partner to take this quiz?
No, I mean, you can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, like, this is what happens. Usually the way people express love is how they want it in return.
Okay.
In general.
Yeah.
Right? Like some people have, it is different in terms of giving and receiving, but for most people, that's the first cue. So if somebody's always giving you gifts, they are probably a person who also wants gifts in return.
They want gifts. They give out what they want back.
Yeah. So however your partner is, however his partner is expressing it, whether it's like he does a lot of things for him, he spends a lot of time with him, maybe he's very physically affectionate, whatever that is, do more of that just so, you know, you're more on the same page and your partner doesn't feel like, oh, he's saying I love you again. And that's not something that I'm good at saying.
Okay. And what's the address for the quiz again?
So I believe the website is 5lovelanguages.com.
Okay. I'll Google it.
Yeah.
Now, if I put it on Snapchat, do you recommend that people not follow their significant other on Snapchat as well?
I feel like I'm too old for Snapchat.
Too old for Snapchat.
I deleted my Snapchat. I was like,
wow.
I was like, I just don't.
So if you were dating a guy, would you tell, and he was trying to follow you on Snapchat, would you like, do you say make your Snapchat private so somebody you're dating can't look at it?
Well, that's probably a good idea. But in my case, I'd be like, I don't have a Snapchat anymore. I just don't. So, you know.
Okay. So just, you said just get text rid of me. It. Get rid of it. Text me. All right. I feel like we don't have any good texting questions. I feel like that could be a whole other podcast.
It could be. I wrote a Huffington Post article about texting, my texting while dating rules, my five texting while dating rules.
Let me bring that up real quick.
Actually it was that article was translated into Brazilian Portuguese.
Oh,
I was like, I guess they've got a lot of
for texting, Abby Maria
texting questions in Brazil.
Okay, good. All right. So this is five texting while dating rules to simplify your love life. Okay, great. Yes. All right. Rule number one, texting means different things to different people. Don't assume. What does that mean?
So a lot of times I'll hear people, particularly women, say like, oh, you know, he texts me all the time. If he liked me, he would just pick up the phone and call. I'm like, maybe, or maybe he's just a texter, right? Mm-hmm. And if you really want him to pick up the phone and call, then you could say, you know, hey, I'm not much of a texter, but you know, I'm free if you want to give me a call or whatever it is, you know, but like, let people know and don't assume that if he's texting you, it means he doesn't like you.
Number two is state your preferences gently.
So, yeah. So just a continuation of what I was just saying, like, don't be like, you know, you're an asshole. Don't text me. Right.
Okay, that's
you just say like, hey, you know, I'm not much of a texter, or I can't really text while I'm at work or whatever it is. And just say, but you know, I can give you a call later or give me a call later. Just, you know, more flies with honey.
Okay. Number three is if you're complaining, stop condoning. What does that mean?
So a lot of people will say like, oh, he only texts me, or he texts me late at night, or he only, you know, I won't hear from him for 3 weeks and then he texts me again. And like, okay, but you're responding to him. So if you don't want somebody to think it's okay to text you in the middle of the night or to text you last minute and just say, hey, what's up? Like, what's going on tonight?
Yeah.
Then don't respond to them and then they will stop.
You said sexting is not for strangers unless you only want sex.
Yes. So oftentimes, especially with online dating, it can quickly go into sexting.
Yes.
And I see this with women who they're really looking to like meet a partner and they kind of get sucked in and they don't want to be perceived as being prudish. So they'll kind of go along with it a little bit.
Go along with it. Okay.
You know, and I'm like, listen, he's not your man. Like, stop.
Mm-hmm.
If you just want to hook up with him, that's fine. You know, no judgments, go for it. But if you're actually looking for a committed relationship, that's not how you start it.
And then you also say the less you know someone, the more caution you should use.
And again, this is like a continuation of that. Like, you don't know somebody that well, then you should not be sending them naked photos of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
and you should just recognize that it's going to be a learning curve in terms of like learning how to effectively communicate with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. How often is that going on the dating site? So it's just like, is it like you're an average woman on a dating site? Is that happening like 1% of the time? Is it happening 80% of the time that you are getting?
No, it's more than that.
It's more than 80?
Oh, well, no, not more than. Well, I think the average woman on a dating site.
Yeah.
It's getting a lot of, well, no, actually, what I should say is it's a lot of feelers.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of like, hey, sexy, or right, you're sexy, or hey, beautiful, or oh, I love those lips, or right, ooh, nice ass, or you know, those types of things. That's a lot. And then a lot of it is just hi, hey,
right,
hello,
right,
what's up?
There's like no rejection. It's like you just send that out to 100 people. If one ends up responding, then you know it's great, and you don't have to get rejected in person by anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's good.
Yeah, but on the apps, I mean, definitely on Tinder, the likelihood that somebody is going to start with the sexy talk right away is higher.
And you feel like that, and there's a lot of women that they're just being polite and they're just going along with it.
Or what happens is that it starts as like a normal conversation.
Yeah.
Right. And they're like, oh, he seems like a nice guy. And then it kind of, or maybe they'll go on a date and then he starts getting a little frisky on the text and they're like, oh, I had a really good date with him and you know, I want to keep his interest and you know, that sort of thing.
So it's horrible is what you're saying.
There are definitely some challenges out there.
You know, in some ways I think like, oh, it'd be so much easier to be dating in 2016 because it's like social media, you know, you're like on there, you have to like come up with like something like witty to say on there. But then I feel like once we get to that point, I've got no shot here.
Do you remember last year when we did this podcast and I showed you Tinder for the first time?
Yes. Now I feel like I know like more and more about it. Yeah.
I think, you know, there is a lot of talk about how hard dating is in, you know, 2016. And it's not that there obviously are a lot of challenges, but there also are a lot of opportunities. And also we live in a world now where everyone can date.
Yeah.
Like, which is really cool. And that's not always been the case. Right. So, you know, as much as it can go to the opposite extreme where everybody's dating so much and nobody's settling down, at least we live in a world. It doesn't matter if you're gay. It doesn't matter if you're straight. It doesn't matter if you're polyamorous, if you're monogamous, if you don't, it doesn't matter what color you are, religion, body, everybody can find somebody to date pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty cool.
Is there a dating site that you recommend that gets your seal of approval more than any other ones? I know Tinder we hear so much about, but there's a bunch of other things like Bumble is one, right?
In terms of the apps, I mean, I think, you know, Tinder is definitely jumped the shark.
Oh, no. Too many guys trying to sext on there.
Well, you know, I think when Tinder first started,
isn't that how everything gets ruined? It starts off where, you know, something's nice and then there's just too many horny guys show up.
Yeah, basically. So, I mean, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I was definitely an advocate of Tinder. Now it's become a little overly saturated. However, it's not to say don't use it. Just know that it's not necessarily going to yield tons of great result. But I do like Bumble.
And that's where you say you like a girl and then she has to also like you and then she responds to you and she can't get assaulted by a bunch of like horny bros.
Yeah. So Bumble works like Tinder, except the woman has to be the initiator of the communication.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And the matches expire after 24 hours. So if as a woman, you don't write to a guy within 24 hours, then it just goes away forever.
Yeah.
But there's some good, there is an app called Happn with no E. So Happn, which I find really intriguing. It'll show you the people that you've crossed paths with in your day. So it'll say like, you know, you were on it. It'd be like, Nicole, it'll show you.
Oh my God. You were right here under my nose the whole time.
It won't show you like exact GPS coordinates. Like somebody could come and like stalk you,
right?
But it'll be like you cross paths at this intersection, you know, 3 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something kind of cool about that. And then you can also, if you cross paths with them multiple times, it'll say like, this is the sixth time you've crossed paths with this person. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And there's one called Raya.
Raya.
Yes. And this one is very, very selective and you actually have to be invited to join it.
Yes.
But it has like famous people on it and stuff. Oh. Yeah. It's for people who are in the arts, basically.
Okay.
Media, arts. If you were single, I bet you could get accepted to Raya.
Now you tell me. All right, let's take another question. Let's get back to helping people. All right, this is from Dallas. Dallas says, it's been 5 months since my girlfriend of 1 year has broken up with me, and I'm still not over her. What can I do to help myself get over her? I feel like that this is a very common question.
Very common.
A lot of people have, both men and women, that I was in this relationship and it's over and I can't move on.
Yeah, it's incredibly common. And for one thing, the first thing is that when a relationship ends, there is a mourning period. Like there's just no way around that. So you just have to accept like, yeah, I miss this person. I miss this relationship. But what you can't do is to fall into the trap of idealizing that person, idealizing the relationship, because that's a lot of what happens. Like, oh, they were the most perfect person. We were so happy. And even if you were happy and they were amazing and all of that stuff, clearly like just they were not the person for you. Okay. And, you know, the timing wasn't right or whatever it was. So getting out there, meeting new people, and not harping.
So do you think that the move is to sort of like get back on the horse and meet somebody new, or to throw yourself into some sort of like different like hobby or interest that's not necessarily like a gateway into dating?
Well, doing things to make yourself personally happy and more well-rounded and, you know, in engaging your own passions is always good. So whether you're single, whether you're trying to get over someone, whether you want to meet someone, whether you're in a relationship, you know, that's always a great idea. So yeah, that's a good suggestion. Doing something for yourself, but just the one thing, when I say to start dating again, it doesn't mean get into a rebound relationship and, you know, just use another person, right, in that way to get over another person. But just don't sit lonely at home and crying and wishing that you had company and thinking that your ex is the only person that you're ever going to be with. Like, get out there and show yourself, like, build that confidence again. Like, okay, you know, there are people out here I can meet and go out with and have a nice time with, and just start looking forward, moving forward.
This is a question from Phoebe. Phoebe writes in, "Hi, Franny. My question is about dating while fat. I'm a mid-20s, well-educated fat woman. I'm completely comfortable with my fatness. It's not something I'm looking to change or I'm self-conscious about. I am, however, having difficulty with dating. I have no problem believing that there are men who are attracted to fat women. I've met a lot of men who find me attractive, and I'm having a good time more casually. My problem is that while it's not difficult to find men who are interested in me sexually, I find that it's difficult to find men who actually want or are looking to date and are comfortable with dating a fat woman. I can think of a lot of reasons, like the stigma associated with dating a fat woman, but it's really frustrating. The lack of progress with dating is starting to bring me down. I've tried online dating, and while it's good to find people to hook up with, it's really not helpful in finding someone to date. Any advice? Thanks, Franny." This is from Phoebe.
Phoebe, I'm so glad that Phoebe asked this question.
Yes.
So there are a few things here. And when it comes to whether you're fat or whatever it is physically that, you know, is not generally considered to be, it's outside the norm of what we generally consider to be attractive or appealing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's that does not become an issue unless it's an issue for you. Right. So, or like, so for instance, if Phoebe, and I know this is not what she's saying, and she had a few questions in there, and I want to get to them all because I think they're really good. But like, if Phoebe was only trying to date guys who were like super fit, for instance, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, yes, probably is going to be more challenging. And I see that a lot with people when they're struggling with something about themselves, even though, again, Phoebe's comfortable, which is awesome. When I'm sure that confidence is why she is attracting so many men. Because that's the most attractive thing is confidence. But just, this is just for, in general, for people who are listening, just when you find yourself in a situation where you're like, oh, I wish I was more attractive, but I want to be with somebody who's really hot, for instance, you know, just recognize that you might be setting yourself up for some challenges, right? If that's what you're kind of leading with or looking to another person to fulfill. But to answer Phoebe's question, I want to say, first of all, that what you're describing is what many, many women are describing. So I don't want you to think that the fact that you're not able to get into the relationship that you want is because of your weight. Now, if you are meeting guys who are saying, you know what, I think you're great, but I don't see myself with you, right? Yeah. Like, there, if it's, you know, like if you have,
how dare they, Francesca?
Like if you, yeah, like if you have some sort of,
where do these guys get off?
Yeah, where do they get off? I mean, if you have some sort of direct evidence that that's what's stopping guys from progressing with you,
right?
That's one thing, but I wouldn't assume that's the case.
Yeah, that's interesting because unless they're saying like, hey, the reason why I can't, like, you know, it's fine for this, but you know, if this is gonna go long term, well, I've got an issue. Like, I can't imagine somebody saying that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are people who would say that, but yeah. I mean, but there's gotta be, listen, like if you're going out with guys and it's kind of like, if they're just saying like, hey, come over, you're not like,
right,
you know, like you're not going out in public, you're not like ever meeting anybody they know, like things like that, just in general for all women, all men who are listening, you know, these are not good signs, right? Like somebody is not trying to bring you into their lives and actually like get to know you. But other than that, I mean, I wouldn't assume that that's the reason. I think that you might just not have found, well, obviously you haven't found the right guy, but I would also be curious in terms of the guys that you are choosing, what is it about them that that's attracting you to them? So is it an issue where, you know, you're comfortable with your own body and your own weight, but are you only attracted to guys who are really fit? You know, or are you attracted, like, are you as forgiving about weight as for other people as you are for yourself? But all you have to do is Google plus size wedding dress and you will see that that weight is not a hindrance to getting into a committed relationship.
I saw an episode of Louis like this where Louis was dating a girl and it basically that, you know, he had been out with her a couple of times, but then she accused him of the same sort of thing of you don't want me to be your girlfriend because I'm heavy. And, you know, that it seemed as though, I don't think that he was very trying to be very polite about it. And he said, no, that's not the reason. But she was like very direct about it. And it's, you know, very similar to this.
Yeah. I mean, I think I actually just had this conversation very recently with a single guy who's dating a woman who she's not overweight, but she doesn't exercise at all. Mm-hmm. She eats whatever she wants, and he can see like that she's kind of like she's not fit, you know, she's mm-hmm. soft, and she, you know, he can see like in a few years, this is probably going to start catching up with her. And he cares about it because he's somebody who really cares about fitness. He really cares about what he puts into his body. And so it's hard for him to see a long-term relationship with her, not because he's not attracted to her, but because he wants somebody who cares about health and fitness and, you know, somebody who can do activities with him and all of that. So, but you know, there are plenty of really fit, fat people. So I'm not saying that that's, you know, those things are mutually exclusive, but that's just another thing to consider.
All right. Let's take a question from Miranda. Miranda says, I've had a crush on my brother's friend for a while now. He used to always hang out with my family, and him and my brother were on the same basketball team. He got a girlfriend, and when I went to his family's parties, things seemed off. He kept getting upset with her because she flirts with all the guys, and she left for a while. During that time, I hung out with him, played basketball, and I felt like he was flirting with me. However, when she showed back up, they acted like nothing had ever happened and sat and laughed with each other. Does he actually like me? Maybe, or was he just hanging out with me because he feels comfortable around me? Why does he continue to date her when he feels like she's got eyes for every other guy? Thanks. It's like a Taylor Swift song.
So Miranda, my tough love advice for you is to move on from this guy mm-hmm. and find. So to answer your question, no, I don't think this guy really likes you. I mean, I'm sure he likes you as a person and maybe he's even attracted to you, but the fact of the matter is he's not trying to have a relationship with you. And in terms of why he's dating the woman he's dating, even though they don't get along, there are all sorts of reasons why people stay in relationships, and you can't torture yourself with that question. The why is not important. Just the reality of what is what's important. And for you, I'd like to see you move on and find a guy who's crazy about you.
Judgy Bear says, I am very career oriented and having motivation and drive in your professional life is very important to me in the person I date. However, I find myself on dating websites quickly dismissing people based on their careers. Am I being overly judgmental by closing myself off to new types of guys just based on their job?
Yes.
Yes. This is not The Bachelor, right?
Yes, you are definitely, yes, you are closing yourself off. You're closing yourself off again. Mm-hmm. This is like the list of what I'm taught you. You know, maybe your ideal guy is, I don't know, whatever. He's an architect or he's a, I don't know, whatever he is. Right. To me, it's carpenter. I think that's like the most attractive male profession ever.
Well, Jesus was a carpenter. That could be where it comes from.
So maybe, you know, you want to date a doctor, whatever it is for you.
So a craftsman is important to you.
No, this is like when you talk about the fundamentals, that's not on the fundamentals. That's like icing on the cake.
Okay.
That's icing on the cake.
But I want to explore this more about the carpenter. So what
I just find it very attractive.
The blue collar workman-like attitude? Is it that you picture like a muscular guy carrying around like the 2x4s?
It's not like a muscular blue collar fantasy. It's more just like, I personally, this is actually a perfect example of how we idealize things in other people that mm-hmm. we ourselves wish that we had. And like, I just love the process of building furniture.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, to me, I'm like, it's
Brandi,
so cool.
You should see me in IKEA. I put that stuff together like nobody's business.
So to me, to be with somebody who could like build our bed and our dining room table and our coffee table, like that's so attractive to me.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
It's hot.
All right. So that would be like the ultimate pickup line for you.
That's
for
the ultimate, guy to say, yeah.
See this bed? I built it.
Yes. And not from IKEA. No offense,
yes.
Rob.
Yes. Not from IKEA.
But yeah, you can't. You've got to, if you're doing what you're doing and you have the criteria you have and you're meeting tons of people that fulfill it and you feel like you're getting really close and you're meeting lots of great guys and they all have the profession that you want, like, you know, fine, knock yourself out. But I'm guessing just by the fact that you're asking this question, you know that it's time to open up. And
how many carpenters have you dated?
One.
Did he have a lot of carpenter pickup lines?
He didn't
talk about his wood at all.
No comments. No.
The carpenter, I really feel like really opens the door to a variety of euphemisms, which is unavailable to the podcast. There's almost no podcasting pickup lines.
There are almost none. Good thing you're married.
Do you feel like that you will be now, any carpenters that are listening to this podcast, you feel like they will be reaching out to you on Twitter?
Ooh, they should.
To Dear Franny, yes.
Wouldn't that be an amazing love story?
Yes, yes. Because you're the relationship expert, but you were giving other people advice, yes. And then they heard you. Yeah. Okay, so very good, very good. Okay, so don't judge people based on their job. All right, this is from Steve. Steve has a very tricky question, I think. Hi, Franny. I'm interested in bringing another person to join our bedroom activities. I'm not sure how I should bring this up to my girlfriend without potentially offending her. What should I say?
Oh, man. You are a brave man, Steve.
Steve is a brave guy.
Steve, you live on the edge.
Right. Right. I mean, is it safe to assume if he doesn't know what his girlfriend is going to think about this, that the answer is probably no?
Yeah. I mean, I think generally speaking, when this happens, right, there is some indication. Yeah. That
I feel like if your partner is interested in bringing another person, I feel like that hint is out there.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could drop some hints, mm-hmm. if you feel like, well, we've just never, I don't know, it's never come up. I don't know. But yeah, I think, Steve, you are a very brave man. Mm-hmm. And you know your girlfriend, and we do not, obviously. If you think that she's adventurous, if she's open, if she's giving you any indication that that's something, mm-hmm. that she, you know, she's sexually adventurous, she's liberally minded when it comes to sex and things like, yeah. that, then, you know, then yeah, give it a try. But my guess is that you would know if she was open to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you want to say to her, like, you know, God, I hate to be such a stereotypical guy, but it's, you know, two women.
Wow. You put that out there. I feel like I would start with, like, you know, have the news on and say, hey, do you think that she's attractive? What do you think of the weatherman?
If you were to date, yeah. another woman, what would, yeah. she look like?
Yeah.
If you were to hook up, have you ever hooked up with a woman? You know,
yeah,
you could give it. You can find some openings, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think that,
you gotta feel it out. I wouldn't dive in.
Yeah, I think she'll let you know, Steve. I don't think that's going to be too big of an issue there. Okay, let's go to a question from Anonymous, who says, I hope you can help me out here. I'm 25. I've never had any significant relationships. This has now become something I am very self-conscious of when I talk to guys or go on dates, because I feel like they're thinking, wow, what is wrong with her? Just like missing years on a resume can raise concerns for an employer. How can I answer questions about past relationships without scaring people off?
This is a great question. I actually have a video about this on my website, FrancescaHoagie.com. Yeah, so this is incredibly common. Mm-hmm. And I actually talk to women who are much older. I mean, I talk to women in their 40s who've never been in a committed relationship. So you're definitely not alone. I feel this is one of those secrets, kind of like those, you know, dirty little secrets that shouldn't be a dirty little secret, but like no one talks about, but it's pretty common. And I think that, you know, 25 is young. I know, you feel like you've missed the boat, but you haven't. And I think that your self-consciousness about it is probably, it's mostly on you and in your mind. I don't think that people are going to judge you as harshly as you are expecting them to. And I think, you know, when it comes up at some point, you can just say, you know, you can just be honest. And the guy who is the right guy for you, and a guy who is kind and not judgmental, is, you know, no one's going to say, oh my God, what's wrong with you? They like you.
I think that some people, when, you know, you have a lot of time to think about things, you think about all the things that are wrong with you and what other people are going to say about those certain things. Like in this hypothetical situation where you meet somebody and you're on a date and they're asking you, first of all, how many people are really like giving you like a deposition on, okay, and so tell me about your last relationship, tell me about your last boyfriend.
Right. How long was it? How long? Yeah.
If you're hitting it off with a new person, I feel like then they'd be like, oh, okay. you know, no big deal that you weren't in a relationship previous to this.
Yeah. And I also think that it's important to remember that no matter what your relationship history is, people are always self-conscious about their relationship history. You know, I mean, I worked with a client who has been married and divorced three times, and she is like so embarrassed about it. And she's like, she was, when we started working together, she was very afraid that people were going to judge her because of that. You know, I know people who are embarrassed and self-conscious about the fact that they've had a series of 1 to 2 year relationships for like the last 15 years. And they're going to say, you know, what's somebody going to think of me? The fact that I can't have a relationship longer than 2 years and I've had, you know, however many ex-boyfriends. So everybody has a situation, that potentially they could feel. Some people are like, I had the worst ex ever. And I let somebody treat me like garbage for 15 years. And that's embarrassing. So, you know, we all have our things to be self-conscious about, but just know that and have some compassion for yourself. Yeah. Give yourself a break about that.
Everybody has baggage. Don't let it stop you.
Yeah.
You meet somebody new. It's the excitement of new really just washes over a lot more of this baggage than you think.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give you one more question, Franny. This is from Anxious with an A. Anxious with an A writes in and says, a few months ago, I met a girl in a place where eternal love is found. That would be Tinder. I think she's really great. She's smart, funny, cute, and laughs at my terrible dad jokes. Things have been going really well until we hit a recent roadblock. We decided to wait until we had built a strong emotional connection before getting more physical. But this past weekend, we both got a little too drunk and went ahead and did it. Unfortunately, because I'm not the most well-endowed or experienced guy, the sex was not very good, and I could tell she was disappointed. We hung out a few days later, but she didn't seem to be too interested in even kissing, let alone having sex again. I'm nervous that my poor showing is going to drive her away from me completely. What would you suggest I do next in order to get another shot with her? From Anxious with an A.
Oh, Anxious with an A. Man, this is a tough situation.
This is tough.
So here's the thing. You're assuming that you have done something preventable, right? That could have, you're blaming yourself for the situation.
Assuming with an A.
But as you know, typically if you're not moving forward, like if you sleep with somebody and then that person is no longer interested in sleeping with you, it's really, I mean, I hate to be, I don't want to make you feel worse about the situation, but I think it's probably, that ship has probably sailed. Mm-hmm. However, it sounds like she is still hanging out with you. So I would just, your confidence, you're really in your head right now. So your confidence is probably shot. Yeah. And a lack of confidence is the thing that will, you know, kill attraction more than anything.
Yeah.
So I would try to just, you know, regain your composure, reset, you know, try again. But you know, it might be a wrap.
Wow. Franny, this is not what I thought you were going to say. I mean, I kind of feel like with this story, it's like, okay, we were waiting. And then we got drunk and then we got physical. And now, can it be that she feels embarrassed too? And she's like, hey, I'm going to put up a wall a little bit because I don't want this guy to think, hey, this is all we're going to do now. Maybe she feels like the relationship changed and she's trying to get it back to where it was.
Yeah, she absolutely. And so I say he's making assumptions that this, like, it's his fault that this is, you know, the state of things. And I don't think that that's a correct assumption. However, whether it's because she feels like, oh, I slept with him and I didn't want to sleep with him, something has changed. She doesn't even want to kiss him now. That's whenever you're taking steps backwards, that's not a good sign.
Right.
So, I mean, listen, it has happened. Sometimes it happens. You sleep with somebody and then you're just like, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah. Well, that's a thing that happens because it's the sex was that bad on the first time out that it's just like, that's it. That's over.
Or it's not even that. I mean, I don't want Anxious with an A to be. I'm not trying to make him feel worse. If it wasn't good for you, it wasn't good for her. I mean, you're assuming maybe she feels like it's her fault that it wasn't good. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Obviously, I wasn't there. But I will say that I think getting in your head and feeling really insecure and beating yourself up about it is very counterproductive in this situation. Okay.
So how do you move forward here? And I know that the answer is typically going to be communication, right? So how do you reopen that line of communication? Do you like really say like sort of mea culpa, like, hey, look, things really just got out of hand here. How do we go back to where we were before? Or if you're talking too much about something, does that make things worse?
I think that that's going to...
As often is the case in my relationship, I am more of the talker in my relationship. And then it's sort of, at a certain point, my wife doesn't want to hear me talk anymore.
Yeah, I would not talk about it. Mm-hmm. I would just try to proceed as you were before. Mm-hmm. And
act like it didn't happen.
Well, not act like it didn't happen, but... If you do talk about it, let me put it this way. Coming from a place of insecurity, like, I feel like I blew it and you're not attracted to me and I was terrible in bed and you're
disappointed. Nobody likes that.
Nobody likes that, right? So if you are going to talk about it, you've got to come at it from like a place of confidence and say and be straightforward and be like, hey, you know, I really like you. I know that we got, like you said, like, I know we got a little carried away, but I'm still like, I still want to keep seeing you. And I think, you know, we should wait before we sleep together again. But I just think you have to prepare yourself for the fact that it might be over.
Oh my God. What if you just said like, hey, just, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. You know, like I'm a little embarrassed that, you know, we got drunk and things got out of hand. I just want you to think, you know, I'm not all about that. That's not who I am. And I just want to, you know,
see, the thing that's really sticking with me is that he said that she doesn't want to kiss anymore.
Mm-hmm. And she doesn't seem too interested in even kissing, let alone having sex again.
She doesn't seem too interested in even kissing. I mean, if you kiss her, I mean, this is hard. I mean, I feel like I need a lot of follow up here because you're still going out.
Again, I don't know if we have a reliable narrator here because that she didn't seem like kissing again. She didn't say no, you know, I don't want to see you, kissing, but that he might be very much in his own head about all this. And maybe jumping to conclusions.
Yeah. If she is continuing to go on dates with him and she is kissing him, right? And seeming to enjoy being with him and still wanting it to progress, then there's nothing to talk about. Okay. Like, keep going. Everything's good.
All right. So he met her on Tinder. Now, can you like sort of like, do you take your like, can you take your shingle down on Tinder of like sort of like turn off your neon sign when you're in a relationship?
You can,
Back on Tinder and see if she is back looking on Tinder.
What you can do is you can't see you. Yes, you can see if she still has an active profile because you've matched. Yes. You can see that she has an act. If she's like,
so you turn off your profile when you meet somebody, right? Sort of like you're driving a cab around town and it's like, is the light up on top of the cab on or off?
I mean, if you meet someone and you're actually dating and it sounds like they were heading on, you know, down a pretty serious road, then yeah, probably should not still be on
Tinder. So should he reactivate his profile to go on and see her?
Not yet.
Okay. And then she sees that he was on there and then it's like the Pina Colada song. Right?
Yes. Something like that.
Something like that. All right, Franny. Well, this was so much fun to go through all these questions. Good questions from everybody.
Really good questions. Thank you, listeners.
Is there anything else that you want to make sure people know about with Valentine's Day this week? Anything that you want to make sure people are thinking about if they're, say, okay, that they have a relationship, and then one thing for people who don't have a relationship?
Yes. So with Valentine's Day coming up, I mean, I'm all for love and celebrating love. However, there is a lot of pressure for people, whether you're single or not single, around Valentine's Day. And so I don't want anyone to feel, it's easy to feel like a loser. Mm-hmm. You know, either you're a loser because you're single or you're a loser because you didn't do the right thing.
Or you're married.
Or you're married. All right. And you're a loser because you didn't do the right thing to make this day really special for your partner. And so I'm always about bringing the fun and finding the fun in everything.
Okay.
So really making Valentine's Day fun for yourself, whether you're single or not. If it's something that you're feeling badly about, don't sit home and you know, feel sorry for yourself.
I used to love Valentine's Day if I was single.
Why is that?
I'd say, well, one, first off, another year getting out of having to spend money on a present for somebody. So I felt like I was ahead of the game then. And then I was like, oh, I can't wait to go to the bars for Valentine's Day, because I know all the girls that are out tonight are single.
That's true.
And they're probably all like looking to meet somebody because it's Valentine's Day. Yeah. And it was, I felt like it was the best night of the year to go out.
Yeah, it is the dating high season. So for people who are single, this is a great time to get online. This is a great time to start to go out on Valentine's Day, to go to singles events, just generally expand your social circle and start to meet more people. Because people are thinking about love and relationships right now. So it's good. Good time.
So do you want to hear about my Valentine's Day plans, Franny?
Yeah. Is this a secret? Can I like tell Nicole? Is she going to hear this before Valentine's Day?
She'll believe me, Franny. The day Nicole listens to an episode of Rob as a podcast, then we'll that'll be a banner day. So that this weekend, of course, is the Valentine's Day.
Yes.
But, you know, the restaurants get a it's very expensive to go out Valentine's Day.
It's a bit of a racket.
It's a bit of a racket. So. Yeah. I like to say, okay, let's go out a night before Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Sort of like, they don't have to pay those expensive marked up prices. Yeah.
It's not as crowded. Price fix
menu, forget that.
Yeah.
So we'll go out like Friday night.
Okay.
And then.
Where are you going?
There's a place Nicole wants to go to over here. So we'll go to a restaurant and then boom, Valentine's Day.
Wow.
What do you think of that? And then on Sunday is Valentine's Day. Walking Dead comes back. I will be podcasting live with the Walking Dead.
I'm so excited about that.
6.5 premiere live with Josh Wigler.
I know that. I'm so excited about that. Seriously. I'm like, that's like the best Valentine's present right there.
Who knows? Maybe some bagels, some pro flowers, perhaps. So we'll see.
But I do want to invite people who are looking for some personalized guidance.
Yes.
You can go to my website, francescahoagie.com. And you can schedule a free session with me.
Wow.
So we can talk about what's going on with you.
You talk with somebody on Skype or on the phone?
I talk to my clients generally on Skype, but for my free sessions, I usually do those over the phone.
Okay.
Unless they're out of the country. I actually had one recently, just a few days ago, with somebody who listens to your podcast.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sure she's listening right now, and she is in India.
Wow.
I'm giving you a shout out. You know who you are.
So you're in India and listening to the podcast and then getting advice from Franny. I bet that's a whole different dating scene.
It is. But it's the same thing. She's on OkCupid in New Delhi.
Yeah. Boom. All right. Well, Franny, this was so great to catch up. Of course, you could follow Franny on Twitter at Dear Franny.
Yes.
I see you're always asking people questions on Facebook also.
Yes. I like to know what the people think.
Yeah. But anybody that's dating you, you don't find out what they think because they're not your friend on Facebook.
They can follow me on Twitter. Yeah. They're an alias account. They can
follow you on Twitter. Will you block somebody you're dating on Twitter?
No.
They can follow you, but you're not going to post anything there.
Yeah, it's not that personal on Twitter.
You don't have a Snapchat. What about Instagram? Will you let somebody who you were dating follow you on Instagram?
Listen. I don't want to be Facebook friends because that's too much of a rabbit hole of like, oh, look at who's commenting. Oh, who's this picture with? Like, that's too much of a rabbit hole. You know, you learn too much. But Instagram, Twitter, those are less invasive.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Franny, this was so much fun. And, you know, we played the other night, the Family Feud with the Wine and Cheese versus the Dirty 30.
You're
in Wine and Cheese, but you were hanging out with Dirty 30 this weekend. I'm bi-coastal.
So I'm definitely in Wine and Cheese, but I might defect after their showing in Family Feud. Just kidding, guys. I love you. Wine and Cheese forever.
Was Dirty 30, were they bragging about Family Feud?
Well, I said to Max, I was like, wow, so like they really lost? And he's like, they didn't lose. They destroyed them.
Got ugly. It was ugly. It was a sad night.
Oh, no.
Sad night all around. Frank, anything else you want to point people to?
No, I think that's everything.
Okay. Well, this was so much fun. I hope that we definitely keep this going. You know, let me know. I mean, it doesn't have to be only for Valentine's Day. You know, let me know, some other time that you're out here. This was a lot of fun and looking forward to hearing what people have to say in the comments on robasawebsite.com. We've got so much more coming up this week here on the podcast between Amazing Race Preview. Corinne is coming in. As I mentioned, we are going to get into another post-game interview with Tasha from this past season. Uh-huh. So big week here on the podcast. Make sure you subscribe to robasawebsite.com/iTunes or subscribe to Rob as a Podcast in your favorite podcatcher. We will talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.